Hey guys, I'm Dariel Kristen with AfterBuzz TV. You know, I was recently looking to buy a car and I thought to myself, there has to be a better way. That old game of cat and mouse at the dealership, going to the manager and coming back, I mean, who wants to do that anymore? I know I don't. It's a process filled with complete anxiety. So I spoke to my friend and they told me about a new way to buy a car. She says it's called TrueCar.com and it's a revolutionizing way to buy a car and have a better experience forever. TrueCar.com, I thought, I'm intrigued, but what's it all about? So my friend told me that at TrueCar.com, you can actually see what others paid to buy the car that you're looking for in your particular area. The site gives you a total transparency and the confidence to know when you're getting a great deal. On top of that, you can lock in negotiation-free guaranteed savings on the car you're looking for. She said TrueCar users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. How is this possible? I don't know. I thought about it. And then she told me that at TrueCar.com, you get a certified guarantee take on the certificate to a TrueCar certified dealer, so you don't have to worry about the hassle and anxiety of the old way to buy a car. You don't even have to take my word for it if you don't believe me. I did a little bit more research and found out that TrueCar certified dealers have sold over 1 million cars to TrueCar users. Over 40,000 last month alone. So seriously, if you're ready to buy a car, why wouldn't you go to TrueCar.com? Negotiation-free guaranteed savings, a hassle-free experience, and a TrueCar certified dealer that is committed to a new and better way to buy a car. I mean, hey, you got me sold. You should check it out too. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Just visit TrueCar.com today. You will not be disappointed.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. Now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 5, Episode 7. It was entitled Raw Deal. I forgot to mention that. But I'm joined here by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
Steve Bottomley.
Hi.
Matt Lieberman.
Hey.
All right, I'm John Comerford. Okay, what happened in today's episode? Let's see, we had Boyd and Johnny taking a trip south of the border. We had Ava making some new prison pious pals. Allison gets torpedoed by Wendy. And I want to start off with Raylan. Yeah. Dealing with the punishment.
Givens.
The aftermath of telling Art the truth, or at least hinting at the truth. I don't know if they actually told him everything.
No, we're not really sure what was discussed.
Yeah, that's true. All we know is Art ain't pleased by it.
Not happy.
What else could he do? But I guess this is his way of just saying, okay, I'm not too happy with you. And you're going to feel it.
Yeah.
Seems rather passive-aggressive after the big punch.
I was going to say, wouldn't you think that the punch sort of said that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I like about this, is that's what you're anticipating. Okay, punch and we're guys and that's it. And it's, no.
It's
still
continuing.
So, yeah. But do you think he's doing it all just to get Raylan so pissed off that he will quit? Or is he trying to protect him from being out there because he wants to keep a closer eye on him or something? What's Art's deal?
I think it's important. This is, Raylan's a guy who bends the rules, bends the law to enforce the law all the time. But in this case, he's not protecting the law. He's not upholding the law. He straight up helped commit a murder. He's an accessory to murder, period.
Right.
A mafia execution. He's an accessory to a mafia execution. Art can't just let him off the hook for this.
No, I get that part. I agree with you, but it seems like
you think
you're going
to
do?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems kind of paltry in comparison to that.
Make his life a living hell. He still has to do his job, so it's either quit or deal with it.
I don't know if he's trying to make him, like, think about what you've done.
Yeah.
Because
Raylan
thinks about what he does at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, in the moment, but not long term.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Art is a little bit conflicted about it. You know, he's not quite sure what he's going to do.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he knows the whole story. He knows enough to know that he doesn't want to hear the rest of it.
Right.
So it's either...
He shouldn't hear the rest of it because then he'll be in.
Exactly. Right. Then he'll be an accessory. Yeah. So, you know, I think he would prefer that Raylan just get out of there. He knows that he's a great lawman. He understands why he did it. But at the same time, you know, he has royally screwed the entire department.
I agree. And that's why I'm going, why didn't he just transfer him? Why do this thing, this little dance?
Because
here?
That's too easy. That's too simple.
This is the easy, simple thing. I'm just going to
make him go away.
Let him do walk-ins.
Yeah.
I'll teach you.
Look, it's not the most aggressive way to deal with it. But at the same time, he knows that this is the sort of thing that will make Raylan miserable. Raylan can't be cooped up. He can't be depended on to do anything clinical or clerical. He's a cowboy. So what's the best way to ruin a cowboy? Chain him to his desk. Chain him to his desk and bore him to death.
Right. So is that his ultimate goal? Is just to punish him a little bit in little annoying ways?
Yeah,
or
cuts,
right.
I don't think that there's a huge plan here. Uh-huh. He never expected to have to deal with this. And frankly, I think he doesn't want to have to think about it. So until he can come up with a decision, or in this case, Raylan comes up to him and gives him his decision for him, this is just his way of just like, I'm just going to make you pay until I figure out the best way to repair this if I want it repaired at all. I think he's just done with him.
Well, and I kind of thought that too, except for, if he was done with him, he should have just gotten rid of him. You were bad for my office, and you have been for, that's it, I'm done. You just pulled the light. You now are an accessory.
But
to
murder. it does feel like you just sit in that corner and you think about what you've done. I mean, there is a father son dynamic here that it's like, okay, are you professional or is
that's
this
what I mean.
Familial
it seems,
or
it's an odd choice to me.
And but the good news is, Erica gets a lot more support.
Yeah, I know.
It's true.
Everything. A lot more Rachel.
Per the chief. Yeah, Rachel's
per
right.
Per the chief.
She's sitting and she's here. You know, Rachel's going to, like, get some badass. And she was pretty badass.
Yeah.
She was, like, telling it. In fact, Tim at one point says, oh, okay, boss.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. And for good reason, too.
Yeah.
That part I like.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like it was last season or the year before when Art is running down, you know, who his deputies are and who would eventually take over his office when he goes.
Right.
And he's like, you know, Rachel's the obvious candidate, but, you know, she doesn't have the confidence to do it. You know, Tim is not a leader. And Raylan, Raylan could, you know, be a very effective deputy marshal or even a very effective marshal, but he doesn't respect the job enough to be able to lead.
Yeah, and I don't think he'd ever sit behind the desk either.
Yeah.
He'd never
want
to be in the office. Right. I just don't see him doing that.
I'm shocked that he wants to go visit his kid.
Yeah, well, I think all that's...
That's a cover.
Yeah, that ain't real.
Okay. Boo.
Sorry. No.
But they did finally have the discussion, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, they held it off the entire episode until the end there.
Yeah, I loved it because it was what was not said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the subtext was huge in that, and it was... Raylan's basically saying, I am who – this is not a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am, and you've been okay with who I am this whole time. And he's like – I can see where he's pissed with Art, like, nothing changed. And Art's like going, everything changed.
Yeah.
Do you not see how everything's changed? And I'm not going to explain to you how everything's changed if you can't see it.
Right.
So I thought it was great.
Yeah, Raylan's saying, you know, you let me be the cowboy when it was convenient. When it was bringing in all these cases, when I was closing cases for you. But, you know, this comes with the territory, and I see no difference in it because I'm going to dole out justice however it needs to be dealt out. And, you know, Art is basically, saying, you know, everything has changed because of this. You've dragged down my department. I think it also, the reason why he's a bit reticent to cast him off onto some of his colleagues is that, well, I don't necessarily know if I can let him damage someone else's department as much as he's damaged mine.
Yeah, when they're talking about transferring everything, you know Art's going, well, that means you're somewhere else, you know, and God help that department.
Right.
So as much as Art would want to transfer him, I think he's also thinking, I got to keep him here. Because
under my thumb.
Yeah, but he's going to keep him under his thumb for what, 3 more months?
Well,
whatever it is, 6 more months.
And he's going to have to change the dynamic because Raylan's like, Cohen, you're either going to treat me like a deputy again, or you're going to transfer me, one or the other.
Well, I think more than anything, this discussion right here tells us what's going on through Art's head. He has no real good answer.
Yeah.
I don't think he does.
There's nothing really that he can do that really help the situation.
Because he can't accept what he did, and if he can't accept what he did, then Art can't accept what Raylan did.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that this fixes is if Art says, yeah, okay, I'm cool with it.
And you're not going to change Raylan. His spots are...
You're going to change exactly. Raylan before you change Art.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah. So, but, all right, but okay, so anyway, but he makes Raylan be a walk-in or take all the walk-ins
take the
that
walk-ins.
Come in. So that's where Larry comes in.
Larry.
With a full attitude coming in already.
Larry, the professional backgammon
yeah,
player.
Yeah, like, wow, I didn't realize they made a lot of money backgammon. I play backgammon all the time. I don't make
quarter
a lot of money.
$250,000.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, absolutely. Quarter mil. Jeez,
if anyone
I gotta get in on
ball
that.
It. Yeah.
Yeah,
that guy. He's great.
And I go, I just find it so funny that these people walk into a Marshall's and he walks in with such attitude. I go, this is the guy that's supposed to be helping you and you're going to give him shit already?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right. I went, okay, how's that going to go over for you?
Not great.
Yeah, isn't that a really good, I mean, he may be great at backgammon. I don't think he's good at judging people because why would you, you know, do that to a guy like Raylan?
Yeah. No, his people skills, a little off.
And he's obviously not the smartest because as Raylan pulls up the website,
Marshall
with two L's and he's been had and he goes off on a rampage.
Yes.
Trying to find TC.
Finds him pretty quickly.
And
he's got muscle with him.
Mr. Kemp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ends very, very poorly. As soon as Kemp finds out exactly how much money it is, no problem, just blowing him away.
Through the phone, by
and,
the way.
Right, interesting, because the phone was recording their conversation. So,
exactly.
Two birds, one bullet.
Nice, nice.
Mm-hmm. Had he had a Nokia, he would have lived.
Right? Yeah.
Those things are invincible.
Again, pretty hip over here.
You have to say, though, when that bullet went through that phone, there are many times I've wanted to do the same thing.
Shoot people through their phone.
That's funny.
You know,
so it was a little wish fulfillment on my end.
There's some states you're getting closer you can do
that.
No lie.
That's
right.
I'm standing
on my
ground.
But that's kind of their, I was going to say, that's kind of their thing, but that's Kemp. And I believe that's first phone, through the phone, through the head.
Yeah, we've had
on
the
show.
Series.
I believe
through
so.
And through there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
is there an app
seen?
For that? Just wondering. So and we finally met Candace here, so that's nice. She plays later, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. And so, I love this character of TC, this guy who you know he lost his leg and then you know found out how to hack and how to phone freak whatever that is.
Right.
I love that he's always caller number 7.
Okay,
you know?
but wasn't it great that until you knew. You didn't know.
Right. That he had only one.
Yeah, it's like, what?
How many legs did he have?
I like they revealed it with the Raylan's reveal. So we got to see it when he says, like, what the hell? Because I was going, why isn't Raylan chasing him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I thought Raylan really was a little, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing.
Well, because he's doing a walk-on.
And he didn't know that there was a dead body in the other room.
No, but it does kind of carry over he just felt petulant to me in this episode of just like, okay, Art's going to put me in the corner? Okay, I'm not going to try.
Yeah.
You know, okay, he's running around. I mean, he had plenty of time. He could have drawn on that guy.
Yeah.
He could have, you know.
Well, as soon as he saw the blood, I mean, I know the guy took off, but he never.
That's the other thing. He goes, normally, now I think you need to come in. And now the guy's going out the window. He's going, okay, stop.
And I think he's just kind of blown away that it's this one-legged guy. Because also, this pole is not super close to the window.
I know.
I'm like, did he use his prosthetic leg to slide down a cable of some kind to get to the pole?
See,
like a zip line.
Yeah, like
a zip line.
It's a lot like when somebody is blind, their hearing is improved. You know, so his one leg that remains
has
got
super strength.
Super power leg.
Yes, exactly.
Super power leg.
Excuse me.
Leg.
Yes.
What is that, a zip leg?
Is that what you're describing?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, normally Raylan would have chased after the guy. Probably would have, you know, especially when he saw your one leg, you would expect him to go after him because, you know, he could get to him twice as fast.
Right.
So.
Did he feel like it wasn't a fair fight?
No.
Is that why he didn't?
But instead of going chasing him, he goes looking through the house.
Well, he also
I guess he saw the blood and he figured, well,
we got to figure out what that is. Yeah.
Well, he underestimates the guy because you know he made the mistake and put two L's on the website. So of course Raylan is not going to think this guy's very smart.
Right.
You know, bumbling criminal. When it turns out that this guy actually knows his stuff pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty awesome at it.
Mm-hmm.
Drains his bank accounts. You know, causes his card to get all ripped up. Mm-hmm. He's not happy.
Right.
Oh, and even the emails. And
yeah.
The little, you know, made a Marshall my
bitch.
The blog post.
Made by Marshall my bitch.
they had some really good lines in this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They called him Bitcoin and stuff. I love that.
God, no. Technology to reply to a post is decades away. That was my favorite moment of that show.
Oh, yeah. Chris.
Introduced to Chris. It's like all these great characters coming in. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see Chris again, but he was great.
Kind of a dick
Tim.
Chris.
Yeah.
Tim goes for the fist pound. And Chris is like, what are you doing? doing?
And again, I'm going, these guys are, they carry guns, you carry a laptop. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, which one is a better weapon in this day and age?
Well, when you're facing each other, okay. The gun.
Yeah, probably.
I have one little Easter egg in there. At one moment, I think it's Tim who says TC, TJ, ACDC, whatever.
Yeah.
The actor's name is TJ. Who plays
that's
TC?
So funny.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
That's good. Nice.
So there you go.
That's weird.
That's great.
I mean, you know. I love seeing Raylan and TC kind of interact over the course of this episode and sort
they
of size
friendly.
Each other up. They got along a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
this episode really kind of reminded me of season one, mm-hmm. where it was more episodic, where, you know, Raylan had to solve a crime every episode.
Right. Yeah.
They had the storyline we're all watching, you know, Johnny in Mexico.
And the crows and the crowders.
Right, crows and the crowders.
Yeah.
And then the other half was this little episode that was just kind of like, we got this, mm-hmm. I think. Let's use this. It was nice to see, but it did kind of throw me back to season one.
Right.
Season one.
We don't want to see Raylan painted into this corner for long, I think is what you're saying.
Well, and you know, I mean, they do that from time to time. There's, there was the, you know, the two, last season, the two kids who, and the junkyard, and the shooting in the foot and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That went over a couple episodes. But they do this regularly. And I did read that the one-legged guy who climbed out a window, down a tree, and flipped off the marshal.
Yeah.
Was a story that was told on set by one of their technical consultants.
One of their marshals?
Buddies.
Oh, okay.
Who was also a marshal.
Wow.
Told that story to Tim Oliphant.
Oh,
and so Tim Oliphant, that's how it ended up in an episode. So it's based on a true story. One-legged guy climbing out a window and flipping off the marshal.
Well, there you go.
Nice.
Look at that.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you have an arc that takes a season and then you start dropping the little episodes in, you know, for me as a viewer, I'm kind of like going, okay, how important is this? Because I'm thinking there's going to be some sort of tie-in over the overall, you know, and it's like, it's just a little vacation storyline. Okay, so.
Right. If you feel like it's not quite filler, but it's not the most interesting or the most compelling step in this journey.
Because it takes me out of the other story a little bit where I'm thinking, how are they going to use a computer guy? I mean,
why are we introducing him instead of moving that storyline forward?
Which is because they have, what do you say, two season long finale?
Exactly.
So I think we're probably going to see that a few more times. I'll just say, be ready, people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to give Raylan. We're so very low tech with a lot of, you know, our stories and a lot of the crimes here. But as you know, in the world now, we have a lot of high tech crimes. We don't know necessarily where Boyd's story is going to go. It would be good to have a tech guy in Raylan's back pocket.
Well,
that's what I was thinking is that may come back because I mean they left that pretty open there about the fact that how about if I teach you how to
be caller number seven?
Caller number seven, and the grin that he had, and then he uses that line later with Art.
But I don't think he did used it yet. I don't know if he did. He hasn't used up the card for sure. I'm sure. I'm hoping they'll bring that back.
But you could totally see Raylan going, look, they're going to give it away to someone.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Why not? Why not me?
Plus, the other thing I just realized is everyone else was in Mexico.
Yes.
So you got to do something.
You can't get Raylan down there.
Yeah. So. We can't have Raylan playing backgammon for the whole episode.
No.
Yeah.
That's
you make a lot of money at it, though.
Although he did interact with Allison, and their relationship kind of took a turn.
Yeah, that was Raylan's punishment. Allison has her own. Go ahead.
Right. Speaking of boring, there were lots of people online. I was reading message boards today saying that they're just bored to tears with the Allison storyline.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was really interesting because, they were talking. Several of them were talking about specifically this week's episode, and saying that you know they're bored, they're sick of it.
Wow.
With the exception of the Wendy and Allison scene that was in this episode, which was kind of interesting, you know, Wendy really playing with her, toying with her, and Wendy being, you know, the manipulator through the whole episode. But yeah, people are like, oh my God, I'm so sick.
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because
it might be because the way they introduced Allison. The first time we see her, you know, he's called outside, and then suddenly she goes, okay, I gotta go. And you're thinking, oh, okay. Well, she's setting him up to do something, and nothing panned out there. Uh-huh. And nothing happened after that.
Yeah, because we had Rachel doing all this talk about, hey, you know, you didn't even suspect her, and you know, and that put it all in our minds. And so you're thinking that,
I think you're still waiting for something to happen where you realize, oh, wait a minute, nothing's happening. Okay, go. Because your anticipation of something should be there.
Significant,
isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, because I still go back to that going, well, I didn't miss that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're hoping for something larger, or at the very least, you know, for her to cross him in some way or to be, you know, responsible for something. Last season, we had that, you know, between him and the bartender, and we got that great episode where he's tracking her down. Mm-hmm. The fact is, compared to all of his other love interests, she's fairly vanilla. You know,
right.
She's just doing her job. Yeah, she's rough around the edges, mm-hmm. but she hasn't gotten him into trouble, really.
No.
Right.
He's gotten her into
he's
trouble.
He's gotten her into trouble.
Right. Interesting. And, you know, she just got suspended.
Right.
And Raylan's taken time off, so...
They're going to go down to Florida together.
Have a vacation.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Although, you compare that, all of her scenes with Raylan... to Wendy's scene with Raylan at the bar.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot more going on there, just from a story perspective, and you feel the charge in the scene, because he's obviously not going to sleep with her, but it's...
Raylan.
Right, he is attracted to her, and Allison brings up a really good point, which is that, you know... Allison isn't like the other women that Raylan's dated. Raylan dates a lot of criminals, wives of criminals, or former wives of criminals.
Yeah, but I don't think Allison is that far removed.
No, I don't either.
I think she is exactly.
I don't think she is either. I mean, she's a pot smoking,
yeah,
you know.
She had trouble in the law, mm-hmm. whatever. So I don't think it's that much removed. And she probably does have a tramp stamp. I don't know.
Yeah, she probably does.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't think we've seen her.
I don't think we've seen
lately.
Well,
so
no, not
to...
lately.
No,
but
no.
We've
seen
her back.
Two episodes without any nudity. I just would like to point
it's
out,
terrible.
Gentlemen,
it's terrible.
We're in
all
a serious drought.
But you know,
that's
but let's go back
I'm
to the
so
Wendy
destroyed.
Thing.
Yes,
but go back to the Wendy thing. So, what's her agenda? She doesn't really. I mean, does she really want to sleep with him? Is she trying to manipulate him? What is she trying to get him
according
in a compromising
to,
position?
According
so that,
to Graham Yost, it's 45-55.
Okay,
but he's not going to say which way.
Uh huh. Okay.
So some of it is genuine attraction, and some of it is that she's
trying
just trying to work
up
on him
so that she can get him out. Like she sidelines Allison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. I think also she's trying to get Kendall's.
And she's
case.
Got skills.
Yeah,
right.
She's trying to get Kendall's case thrown out,
right.
And maybe. You know, if he ever tries to make a complaint against the rest of her family ever again, if he sleeps with her, it shows how unprofessional he is, and she could get a restraining order against him for the entire family.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right.
I mean, that's what I think she's doing. That's what I'm asking. Do you guys think that's – because I think she's just trying to get him in a compromising position.
But the fact that he's hot Raylan Givens makes it a lot easier for her, as opposed to if she was, you know, trying to seduce Kemp.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Totally different.
See, that's why I love this pairing together, because, you know, she very much is trying to use him and take advantage of him and figure out a way to best position her family, but he does have a lot of fair points, and they even just in a room together, they have a lot in common.
Yeah.
You know.
And I for one don't think she knew about Dilly.
No.
Right.
She did not.
That was the point.
And you all agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She did not know about Dilly. She doesn't know the...
And I think that's going to be the thing that... the wedge right there.
Between her and Daryl.
Yeah, because she looks like, even though it's reluctant, she looks like she'll go to bat for any one of the family.
Yes.
Any one of the members.
Yes.
But the fact that Daryl would have Dilly killed, I think that's just... Forget it. That's,
yeah.
She can't deal with that.
Well, he's the one who preaches, you know, family togetherness, and he pulls her into his crap time and time again. So for him to kill a family member is a huge betrayal.
And we see the Crow family, you know, disintegrating even more, because Kendall realizes he's not in the right place anymore, and that's why he calls Uncle Jack.
Yeah.
And so Kendall, the smartest one of all of them, trying to, you know, call a lifeline, phone a friend.
I wish I knew that actor's name.
I do. I got it.
Plays who?
I got it.
Kendall?
Jacob Laughland plays Kendall.
He's doing a hell of a job.
He's doing a great job.
To be able to play that broken kid and yet the hard nose within the same
scene. Get your hands off the battle.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you know, because you, man, that is
a
real tightrope.
Why don't you get a blowjob or something?
Yeah, but then to be able to turn on that, you know, where you feel for this kid, where you're just like, oh my God, man, he just wants out.
He's screwed.
And when, is it Danny?
Mm-hmm.
Danny turns around and like gives him a wink and like, hey, you know, you're one of us and all that stuff. That's just creepy.
Mm-hmm. So creepy.
To me,
he's doing a great job in there.
It wasn't like one of us. It was like don't you tell.
Oh, right, yeah, absolutely.
I'm keeping an eye
on
you.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but Kendall's going to outsmart Danny, obviously.
That's not hard to do. This mug can outsmart Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so shout out to Jacob Laughlin. Good job. Excellent job.
Speaking of shout outs, why don't you?
Yeah. So here's the thing, gang. We here at AfterBuzz TV, and I say this all the time, so don't skip ahead, because it is important, okay? We here at AfterBuzz TV, we put out over 68 hours of free content a week. It's a staggering amount of content, and you can download it, you can stream it, you can watch it, you can listen to it on any of your devices. We live in an amazing time. We live in the future. The Jetsons couldn't have imagined podcasts. They didn't know anything about podcasts.
You just asked them not to speed over this.
No, they shouldn't, because this is all gold right here.
Okay, all right.
But here's the thing. We do this show because we love Justified, but more importantly, because we want to be able to inform and entertain everyone at home. You've made us a part of your lives, and I feel like you're a part of ours, and we're very, very grateful for our amazing audience. But what could you do to help us out if you were so inclined? Yeah. I'll let you know. You go to iTunes, slap the show with a rating, give it a review. It only takes a second, doesn't cost a dime, and seriously means the world. Not only does it light up our day to see your wonderful comments, but it's the best way to show our bosses, the heads of this network, that not only are we doing our jobs well, but that the audience is responding to it positively, that they're big fans, and that we deserve all the time in the world to record, that we can get all the best guests in the world. It really means a lot. We got one review in the past 2 weeks from Train Number 8. Love it. 5 stars. I watched the show, then rewatch after listening to the podcast.
Yes.
Great stuff. Only took a minute to write that, but it seriously makes a huge difference, so thank you.
We also got a YouTube comment from Josterlitz in France,
France,
who is really concerned about upset about the fact that we missed a week because of the Olympics.
Oh,
and
right.
And so, you know, wrote some really nice comments to us. And he said, Sochi deprived me of my Justified this week, but at least I have AfterBuzz. So that was really nice.
Nice.
And then Ben Hamill, who he was the one who told us about Constable Bob coming back, Constable Bob not coming back.
Ben.
This was kind of a funny one. You know, especially gave him a bit of hell about that. And he said he loved it when we vented our displeasure in his direction. And I said to him, well, we did to a certain degree have to kill the messenger.
Oh, look what you did there.
Nicely done.
Which was last week's episode name for those of you who didn't
follow.
Also on iTunes, you guys are great. Love the insight and energy. You make my commute to work a lot easier. And I hope Baby Dewey does not go to the dark side.
I know.
Oh,
yeah, we're talking about
Dewey.
I think he already has.
You know, they had a lot of isolated shots on Dewey.
I know, didn't you? I mean, especially in the desert there.
Yeah, and when he's looking at the calendar.
All right, yeah, I know. All right, before we get to the guy, we got to attack Ava and the Heavenly Mother.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that whole prison story is taking on a new dimension, and you know that just got a little weird, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, these prisons, you know, it's pretty messed up what's going on in there.
Well, now she's in the big house too,
right? And we realize that Penny, who was being kind to her, wasn't just doing it, you know, out of sentiment. She was
really
looking for her replacement.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Trying to get out of the life, as it were. Mm-hmm. The woman who plays Judith, what's her name?
Dale Dickey. She's in everything.
She's fantastic. She is fantastic. I remember her from Winter's
Breaking
Bone, of course, but also Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
The ATM scene. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was so good in
that.
She plays meth.
Post-meth
or whatever. I mean,
prisoner. Yeah.
What are you talking about? She's high on religion.
Yeah.
Good old time
religion.
I
love how Ava is yet having to deal with religion.
Yeah, but I also like that, you know, the Heavenly Mother was saying, oh, yeah, you don't believe in religion. You, with your election, you wouldn't have to. I mean, I thought that was a great line.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of insight into Ava's world.
Yeah,
I know you,
yeah.
sister. She, I know what it is.
She also threw in, you know, waiting for your man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
so
was another little.
They hit a couple of points.
A couple of nice digs.
Yeah. But Ava's taking.
She's taking some initiative.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've got to make prison interesting because the first couple of episodes that she was in prison, she was just, you know, well, she was in whatever, was local jail.
Right,
but now
Harlan
she's in the big house. But yeah, they've got to make prison interesting because it's been driving us crazy.
Yeah.
They are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. It was so, like, darkly funny when Penny's like, no, you know, don't worry about it. You'll get used to it. I mean, he's kind of big, but you'll
he's
handle
a nice
it.
Guy.
He's a very nice guy. You know, gross.
And so gross. But I thought that was after they were introducing each other. Hey, how you doing? It's good to work with you and all this other stuff. Yeah. It's all professional.
Yeah, very professional.
Yeah. Well, because she had no idea what she was getting into until that moment. Mm-hmm. And Reiner.
Reiner, the plumber,
who, you know, after she leaves, so she plants the drugs in Reiner's pack, and after she leaves, Reiner's looking around to watch Penny and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, you said it yourself. You have to make prison interesting.
Yes. That's true.
It's true.
So,
I mean, if you're working in prison, you take advantage of the perks.
There you go.
Free porn. Yeah. Terrible.
So,
oh, my God.
That does, I am questioning, do you think it was like, I'm not going to sleep with a guard. I got to figure this out. Or was she thinking that far ahead where I'm going to take over the...
I think it wasn't just the whole guard thing. I think she realized, well, this is my way to have power in here because if I'm the one supplying the drugs, nobody's going to mess with me.
Right.
See, I thought it was a pure survival thing. I thought it was I'm not going to sleep with a guard. I'm going to do what I can. I bet I could get drugs in here if I wanted to.
I think survival is a great word for it.
Yeah, because I don't think she had a real plan going in there. I don't think, you know, I think she's winging it.
Yeah, she was not prepared for sleeping with a guard to be a huge part of it. It's a betrayal on the part of Penny that she kind of led her into this, knowing what it was, not telling her.
Right.
And now that she's stuck in it because Judith will, you know, take her face off or throw her to the white supremacists or anyone
else. Or
bite
her bicep.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Anything like that. She's thinking moment to moment. She plants the drugs on this guy so that, you know, this operation is dismantled. And she has no idea if she'll be able to get heroin in here.
Right.
She just says that she can to buy her more time.
Right. Right.
That's what I think, anyway.
Well, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it, you know, it's another victimization of Ava, you know, I mean, her getting moved from county jail to
state
prison.
Can we just
call
season 5 the victimization of Ava Crowder?
Yeah, well, it's also the double cross. It's the season of the double cross.
Yes, it is.
With, you know, Mooney and Paxton and just there's been so many of them.
And now Johnny and Hot Rod
and Boyd.
Yoon. So, I mean, it's just everybody. Every day, just about every episode, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Somebody else.
But so if Ava, so, you know, there, Joelle Carter has been very coy, not giving any details about.
By the way, what did you think of her hair?
Looks fantastic.
Loved it.
It's really good.
Loved it.
Her prison cut.
She's so pretty. You could shave her head and she'd still be beautiful. But she's been very coy about whether or not Ava's going to get out.
Right.
And, you know, there was speculation. I got a tweet this week from a viewer who was talking about how she basically predicted this, that Ava was going to become as badass as Boyd, but in prison, because that's, you know, that's her background and that's her come from. She's a survivor and she's going to figure out how to make it work for her.
I love this idea. It takes this victimization and instead turns her into a figure of power, something to be feared. Something to be admired, and it gives her something interesting to do in the sixth season when the time comes. I've been so afraid that they're just going to push her into the corner and then at the end of the season kill her off just to give Boyd some more rage. But I would far prefer that she becomes powerful in her own
this is more like shooting her husband and using the frying pan on so-and-so. I mean,
which is also self-preservation.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah. I mean, this is what I like Ava in these situations. When
active.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've given her own identity again. Mm-hmm. Last season, it was just her and Boyd. Her and Boyd doing everything together.
Being in love.
Well, yeah, I think she realized
she's dealing with LMA. Yeah,
she knows she's alone.
Yeah.
And he can't help totally on her own. So,
I mean, he might be able to help me get the drugs, but in here...
Yeah, this is actually the first time...
He couldn't protect me.
This is the first time that she's ever been alone on the show. Because at first she has Raylan, then she has Boyd.
Yes.
And then, you know, she...
Well, even before that, she had a husband that
She had Bowman who abused her. And now she legitimately has no one that she can depend on but herself. And we're really seeing what she is capable of when she is set free by having nothing to lose.
Right. And it's a great opportunity to see what Ava can do. Just shout out to Fiddlesticks. That's who sent me the
the tweet.
She said, "I bet she will be in prison a long time. Ava's going to be bigger and meaner than Boyd."
Wonderful.
Oh, bigger and meaner.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Fiddlesticks.
All right. I'm just going to throw a out of left field prediction.
Okay.
All right.
What if after this season and before the sixth season, we have a big old time jump? Between the end of season 5, when Boyd conceivably gets his heroin pipeline up and
working,
and Ava's still in prison, and then Raylan's been drummed out of the Marshal Service, and then season six we pick up 5 years later with Ava being this drug kingpin in prison, Boyd being a drug kingpin in Harlan, Raylan basically out of the service, out of the field, you know, maybe even settling down and being a father when something pulls him back in to take down Boyd once and for all. I'm sorry, that just sounds like the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Okay, but pull him back into the service?
Implausible.
Or sets him down the path of being a vigilante.
Does Art come out of retirement?
Right, the vigilante part I think is really the interesting, like really compelling part of that. And it doesn't have to be 5 years. I mean, because at this point it looks like Raylan could get thrown out of the Marshals tomorrow if Art wants to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows?
Who knows indeed.
But what is it? He's a vigilante as a marshal. What is
That's true. That's a fair point.
Yeah, that badge helps him out a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, that's interesting.
I don't know. Okay, Matt, we'll think about
that. We'll sit on that.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to our last line because we're running short on time. Down south. We're in Mexico.
Wow.
I didn't see any of it coming. I thought it was great. Just a little visual metaphor we got with the hood being put on Johnny.
There's
and then when it's removed.
There's just nothing more ominous than seeing a hood go over somebody. Yeah.
That was a little foreshadowing of the double con going on here when you pull the hood off and it's Boyd. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Right.
So to let us know that, hey, not everything you see here is the way you think it is.
Yeah.
I think that was great.
They keep you guessing the whole time.
Yeah.
And even just at the top of the episode, I love that we didn't get that question answered of, like, what are we going to do with the crows when they bust in on Hot Rod's place and no one's there?
Yeah.
And we find out, you know, they have this elaborate plot. They know that Johnny's coming there to double cross. They get to Yoon ahead of time, and they make it all go down their way with one condition: no bodies dropped in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
Oops.
Oh, and give us the money.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we were talking before, and Boyd used Johnny's money to buy Johnny.
Yeah. It's a brilliant play.
Yeah. Right?
It's a really good play.
Like, and
that's a really good play.
I loved how they just held that. Didn't give you, for me, they didn't give me any hints at that at all.
No.
So I was like, what the hell?
No. I really liked when they were sitting in the garden or wherever in the front.
Oh, yeah. Just talking about Jenny Wright?
Yeah.
Jenny Wright.
But just all the plants around them, and it was like they were camping or something. Mm-hmm. It was really just the setting was really
unless
good for that.
You know, except for the fact that their hands were bound behind them, they could have been having a beer.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was talking about a six-pack, too. They're just reminiscing.
Well, they still could. They could just, you know. Okay.
Need a really long straw.
They could feed each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay,
good
sorry.
Place. Be cooperative. Like, you know, you used to bring me six-packs when we were younger, back in the old days. And that's one of the things that I think adds charm to all of the interplay and relationships on this show is because we know everybody's known each other for 100 years. I mean, you know, Raylan and Boyd were boyhood friends and played baseball together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it really adds that extra layer and reminds us of who these people are and how far they've come.
Yes. And that and a perfect little setting for Boyd waxing philosophic about knowing his demise for years now.
Yes.
You know, what do you say? What is his definition?
I have it written down, but I don't have it memorized.
Oh, okay.
What, the death comment? You know, what else is there something about standing naked in the sun, naked in the wind and melting into the sun? A Khalil Gibran quote.
He recites Khalil Gibran.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, Graham Yost said, I'm pretty sure that was a Walton line.
Wow.
Actually, because, you know, he fancies Boyd being very, very literate.
Yeah. Well, he had to.
It makes him more interesting.
I forgot to watch Johnny when he was doing that. I just, you know, what a great opportunity for him to just like, oh, God, I can't wait to kill you.
I'd like to see you melt into the sun.
I can't wait for you to die.
Well,
and Johnny really was, I mean, he was making such great moves up until then. I mean, he must have
up until that one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I know, and I love the way he said, you know, I'm just glad it's going to be me that put you in that peaceful place. That's what he tells Boyd.
And at any point, at any point, it could have happened. You know, one of them was going to kill the other somehow or another. They both were sure they were going to be the one holding the gun.
Mm-hmm. Later on, when he's talking about, you know, you dying in the desert, and I'm thinking, wow, still? Because now there's going to be the, you know, Johnny's in a truck and they're going to figure out how to, you know, and I'm seeing Raylan going out to get, no. Yeah. That did not happen at all.
Well, here's the thing that gets me and that I was thinking about for the last couple of episodes. You know, they get to where the truck is. They're about to throw it open and reveal the drugs. And it's just packed full of crows.
Right.
a murder of crows.
A murder of crows. Going back to the first episode of the season. Yes. And they come out and Danny screws up and they start shooting everybody. And all of a sudden we've got a pile of bodies.
But does he screw up?
He does screw
up. No, I agree in overall scheme. But he looks at Daryl and Daryl kind of looks at him. And it looks
they give each other the nod, the little look between
each other. And then Danny, they did an isolated
shot
of the hands.
And Danny, the way he's saying is he pulled. He didn't pull.
They did an isolated shot of the guys. The guy's hands are just hanging there. You know, they made sure you saw that
he did not pull.
It
was a setup
between Daryl and Danny. But the thing I don't get is why just yet.
Well, but on the heels of that, that moment was so great because you know it also robbed Boyd of the slow death that he wanted to give
Johnny.
So angry. And what a great way to go. I mean, you know, Johnny halfway through and then he's gone. And it was like, no, wait.
But it's interesting. The shot they went to was Dewey.
Yeah, again.
Dewey looking at, you know, realizing, what the hell am I in here?
Yeah.
I mean, what am I into? Yeah. I mean, I think that was very interesting that they chose to have the reaction on Dewey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very interesting. I'm glad Johnny's gone. I mean, I love David Meunier.
We all do. Yes.
But I wanted him dead last season. Now he's dead. Okay, great. Let's give Boyd something else to fixate on.
99% dead.
99. He's probably dead. Shot in the face. Dead. And now they have to figure out how to get these bodies out of Mexico. They've disappointed Mr. Yoon.
Oh, yes. And that is not somebody you want to disappoint.
Before we get to that, does anybody have any theories? Are we going to predict about or just talk about what are they up to? I don't get it.
Daryl and Danny.
Yeah, Daryl and Danny. Why?
It was outside of Boyd's purview, so I can't think who would be pulling the strings if not Boyd or Johnny, unless...
Yeah, so they have their own thing, their own reason for it.
I think it's the two of them. I think it's Daryl and Danny.
But I can't figure out what the hell it is.
Securing their jobs?
But is it a thing where they made a point, don't leave bodies in Mexico?
Right.
Now, I don't think Danny and Daryl know that rule.
They don't know that rule. Well, they weren't there.
No.
Right. So their action, that was just an unfortunate sideline of their action. So it's not based on like trying to screw Boyd degree.
That really looked to me like, okay, they privately, before all this went down, Danny and Daryl got together and Daryl said, okay, here's what we're going to do.
For whatever
reason. Yeah, and we just don't know what that is. Yeah.
See, maybe I'm simple. Maybe I'm just thick. I didn't catch that moment. I thought that was just Danny being Danny and just going ahead and just shooting everybody because that's who Danny is.
I originally thought that, but when I looked at it, again, I went, wait a minute. Because I saw the look between Danny and Daryl, and I saw that nobody pulled a gun. And so why would he, anyway, we'll find out. Well, I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah. All right.
But I do agree. You're a little simple. So,
and then, of course, we've got the whole thing about Yoon. Well, how are they going to
tell Mr. Yoon we have a problem.
I mean, what's the problem? They just bury the bodies, right?
No, because you can't bury American bodies on Mexican soil. You got to cut them up and dissolve them. Do the cartel stuff.
Because they're on the desert. Who's going to know?
Well, you know anyone bodies who goes are buried to there the now? Desert.
It's not like they're going to miss any of these guys. I was thinking just you got
really
a
are
truck.
Simple, aren't you?
I'm very simple and very thick, and I personally believe
you can't bury a body in the desert.
You can't bury a body in the desert.
The Mexican
exactly
desert
where they're
won't
looking.
Allow it.
Plus, Breaking Bad shows you how to dissolve a body. Yeah. So. True. You know,
right. And how to bury things in the desert.
Yes,
as a matter of fact.
All right, so we're running out of time. So
they do.
I'm sure those questions will be answered next week. But before we go, we're going to talk news and gossip real quick, Tammy. We don't have time for much. So just pick one.
Yeah. So sad news. Last week on February 20th, Sarah Elizabeth Joan, a camera assistant, was killed on a train track trestle after she was hit by a freight train during the filming of a biopic on Greg Allman in Southeast Georgia. There's speculation as to the cause of the crash, which also injured 7 other crew members. As far as responsibility of, was it the train company or was it the production company permits and all that kind of stuff? The International Cinematographers Guild said in a statement that it was shocked and saddened by Jones's death. The guild described her as a well-respected camera assistant, much loved by those who worked with her. But the news that I wanted to discuss was the campaign that began just days after her death on Facebook. The campaign called Slates for Sarah encourages colleagues to post notes and of support and remembrance to Sarah on their slate boards as they're filming, okay, and then post the pictures on a Facebook site.
Nice.
Revolution, Persons of Interest, Rizzoli and Isles, Vampire Diaries, which was a show that Sarah worked on, mm-hmm, Criminal Minds, Glee, Parenthood, Foyles, War, Downton Abbey, as well as Justified, all posted pictures on their slates with words of support and remembrance for Sarah. They did everything from writing just R.I.P. Sarah or for Sarah, and others who said simply, Sarah Jones, never forget. One poster was told that he couldn't write anything on the slate board, so he actually wrote for Sarah on his thumb, which was clearly displayed every time they used the slate and held it to the camera. The aim of the site and the process of making slates for Sarah was to remember her as well as raise awareness for always putting safety first on the set. So safety before shot, as one poster had put it. Pictures of support were posted from all over the United States as well as Puerto Rico, Ireland, even Singapore and South Africa. And that's just been in 2 days because it went up on the 24th. So if you have a chance, take a look at Slates for Sarah on Facebook. When I last checked, they had nearly 32,000 likes on their
page.
And
there's a petition to have her added to the In Memoriam this Sunday at the Oscars.
At the Oscars.
So you can find that as well.
Yeah.
So check that out and thoughts and prayers to Sarah's family.
You'd think you're covered. You'd think everything's good.
And that's what everybody's talking about.
Well, that's the thing, right? When you're a crew member, they tell you, you know, the camera comes first. Do everything to save the camera, save the equipment. Mm-hmm. It's worth more than you are. When I was coming up doing small sets, that's what they always told us. And, you know, they preach safety, but more often than not, sadly, it isn't often followed.
Right, exactly. Because there's always a time crunch. It's always about the money. And, you know, and so in this situation, it was really, really terribly sad outcome.
That is very sad.
Okay. Yeah. And on our time crunch, I think that's all we have today.
It is.
So we'll say goodbye here. Matt, why don't you let them know where they can find you?
Sure. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me all over the place here at AfterBuzz TV. Helix and Lost Girl on Sci-Fi, Banshee on Cinemax. Got the new show on ABC, Resurrection, coming up Sunday, March 9th. That I'm going to be doing. Also, Cougar Town, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Almost Human. And if you're in L.A. and you love live comedy, you can come see me perform at the I.O. West Comedy Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, 6366 Hollywood Boulevard. The next show is Sunday, March 9th at 9 p.m. I'm performing as a member of DJ Fawcett.
There you go. Tamara.
I am at Tamara Berg, T-A-M-A-R-A-B-E-R-G on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. We do have guests coming into the show in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
So do check, even if you don't have a Twitter account, do check Twitter because we put out notices of letting know who's coming on the show so that we can get your questions. So keep an eye on that.
Great.
Bottom with Steven, Twitter.
Then you can find me here next week.
All right.
I'm going to have everybody here. We want to thank you very much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks for watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.